You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
And welcome to Cigar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Smokin' Joe.
I'm Brad Jackson.
And we've got a two-cigar episode for you today. First off, I'm smoking the Room 101 Hit and Run. This guy sports a Mexican San Andreas wrapper over Ecuadorian Sumatra binder and fillers that include Corojo 98 from Nicaragua, as well as undisclosed Nicaraguan tobacco and tobacco from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I'm out of my my typical I prefer all things Nicaraguan zone for a special treat that you've given me.
Because we are recording on Brad's birthday, so everybody say happy birthday, Brad, in the comment section.
Yeah, old as fuck. But I've got the Atuero Fuente, the Añejo. For folks that know cigars, this is a yearly release, and this is one of those times when I'm like, now I like all things Dominican.
Yeah, because they normally come out when they used to come out twice a year. It was like a Father's Day and Christmas release. Now it's just kind of comes out end of the year every year. And yeah, if you can still find some, I just happened to get lucky and there was a couple left on the shelf. Grab you up one, because that's probably one of my favorite cigars.
Yeah, and I think what makes this, so unique is, the fact that, the tobaccos here, just the construction is a cut above. I mean, I've personally never had a bad experience with any of the Fuente cigars that I've smoked, but it seems like extra love and attention is given, to any of these Añejos. And
yeah, because I don't really smoke the standard Fuentes very often. Like, they're most of their stuff is kind of a little light to me, but the Añejo is just, that one's just a powerhouse. But in like a bold, like a good whiskey type of way, not like just this
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kicks your ass.
I mean,
it's like just a lot of flavor.
I don't know. Something about, the aging of 5 years and I believe it is cognac barrels that they, age the tobacco in. And
fancy.
Just gives it that little extra zing. But I mean, this is probably going to piss a lot of people off here, but I would take an Añejo over an Opus just about any day.
I don't think you can.
Yeah, the only thing is the Opus, as coveted as it is a lot more readily available.
Yeah, it's around a lot more often. And this Room 101, they say it's a full strength cigar with notes of leather, oak, spice, and pepper. I do like a full strength, full flavor experience.
Yeah, and definitely, definitely full bodied, full flavor on the Añejo here. I don't know, there's a, like when people talk about cigars and they're like, oh, I want a, sweet and spicy kind of contrast. Like if these weren't so limited, I'd be like, try this guy. But I also remember the Añejo from like back in the day when these were $10 sticks. And as we all know, post COVID,
yeah,
everything has doubled in price. So
that, and they, I don't know if they were just seemed to be available a lot longer. It was like people like didn't know how good they were. So it was like, you could smoke them for a month or two after they came out. But like now it's like, everyone's like, nah, fuck that. We got to get that good shit.
Well, and that's
why
most,
they don't last on the shelves very long.
Most shops, I remember at one point, being able to buy a box, but I think now most brick and mortars, are going to limit you to like, somewhere between one and three sticks, per order or customer or something of that nature, just to try to make sure there's enough of these to go around.
Some asshole doesn't come in and like wipe out the whole stock in a day.
I mean, I'm pretty much guilty of doing that when, what was it? The Rocky Patel Super Lajeros.
Yeah.
From way back in the day, man. Like,
I need to bring that one back. That was a good cigar.
Yeah, that was a great cigar. All they did, you know, I think go into a transition or something with that cigar, though, where, you know, they brought them, they disappeared, and then they kind of resurfaced again, but they weren't the same.
Yeah, like, I don't know, there's some quality issues in some of those last batches that we got. So it may just been the tobacco that they had for that, they just couldn't get anymore or something, because, you know, that's tobacco changes, you know, year to year, production to production. So, you know, if you can't get the same quality you were getting previously, then, you know, you probably should try something else other than letting the cigar go downhill. Well, this week we're going to talk about a second little movie that we talked about back in 2019, I think, when the first one came out. We're talking about Code 8 Part 2 and Room 101. A lot of numbers this episode. I didn't know I was going to have to do math. And if you're going to have to fight drug-dealing X-Men, you should call in the Strike Force. StrikeForceEnergy.com. Use your promo code CigarNerds for 20% off your order. Comes in nice, tiny tin pouches. If you got a magnet type, you know, he may steal your Strike Force. But other than that, you'd be good to go.
Shocking.
Yeah, shocking. Give him the shocker. No, not that shocker. Throw the lightning bolts.
Oh, my bad.
Lightning bolt. That's just like, I kept thinking about like the fucking D&D kids. Like, lightning bolt. But with that, we'll be right back.
You said you owed me for the time I did inside. I have to get someone out of the city tonight. A friend. You do that for me, we're even.
I'll help you. My quick question first. What is it about me that you would choose this pathetic life?
You try to act like you're looking out for people like us. But I think you're a parasite.
Sergeant Kingston is a rising star in downtown Lincoln.
I made a deal with a cop. He gets a cut, and we get to run this place.
I'm here because I'm one of you. We all want a safe neighborhood to grow up. But we've listened. We've made changes. If you just put your hands up, we won't hurt you.
One.
Hey, welcome back. It's time to call in a Code 8. Or a Code Brown. Or some kind of code.
I mean, did they even reference a Code 8 in the movie? I don't think they did.
In the first movie they did. Apparently Code 8 is like incident involving superpowered people. But yeah, I don't even, other than like, I think it's mentioned a little bit in those, like, there's like the news broadcast, you know, snippets at like the first of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, I think somebody might have said it then, but yeah, it was like, other than that, I don't remember anyone calling Code 8 on anything. Oh. But yeah, this is part two of a Netflix sci-fi directed by Jeff Chan and starring the brothers Emil, Steven, a.k.a. the Green Arrow, and his brother Robbie Emil.
I definitely feel like I should have went back and watched the first film again.
Yeah, I never got around to rewatching the first film.
You know, this, the second one, like, just off the cuff, I don't think it had quite the same impact that the first one did. But, you know, for an hour and 45 minutes, it was still enjoyable. Just, I don't think it was quite on the same caliber.
Yeah, because, like, that's kind of one of the reasons we're like, hey, let's talk about this movie. It's, you know, coming out, because we're kind of in that zone of not a lot of good new movies out for the next. We're in that, it's not quite the spring movie season yet, and like the fall winter movie season has like ended. So it's like, and of course all the strikes and all that other stuff kind of thinned out the market on on new shit. So it's like, I remember that being a, like, the first one, I think we we really liked. And it was, and the second one, like, I sat here, like, watching it, and I'm like, ah, shit, we're going to talk about this, because it's, I don't want to say it's bad, but it's not as good as the original. I think that's, like, a safe statement to make, that it's, like, it's just, and it may be the fact that I haven't watched the original in so long that I still have
has our, you know, taste changed that much since 2019. You know, we're older, we're more mature.
Well, the first one to me had a lot more action sequences to it. I mean, it was like a heist film with, all right, so if you're not familiar with the world of Code 8, it's like a world where some random people have powers and the government is kind of discriminating against them because they're like, these people are, you know, walking. Cause like apparently like in like the history of it, these people were like, oh, people with powers are good, like for industry. And you know, they can like, you know, do things.
But as more machines and automation took over, then
they were kind of unemployed and then started, you know, just basically doing drugs and doing crimes with their powers. And it, you know, started a whole kind of police oppression of the, anyone who had powers, because a lot of the people with powers tended to be criminals. So they, it's like, you know, one bad seed, makes everyone a bad seed, apparently. That, yeah. Totally fiction. That definitely doesn't happen in the real world, right?
Yeah, I mean, I...
Sarcasm.
I don't know what that means. You really missed your opportunity there. I totally thought you were pulling up the, you know, full definition of sarcasm just to read it verbatim. And be like,
no,
this is here,
to,
you dumbass.
I was trying to bring up fucking notes on the first Code 8 movie, because, yeah, 2019 is when that first one came out. Same director, same everything, but yeah, because, like, the first one, they basically, Robbie Amell's character, Connor, you know, mother needs some kind of medical treatment, and he's low on cash, and he ends up running into Garrett, played by Stephen Amell, who is kind of a, well, he kind of runs a thief crew, and he's like, we're collecting people of certain powers to help us, you know, rob something. And, you know, he gets kind of sucked into this crew. And by the end of it, he ends up going to prison, and but won't flip on the rest of his crew. So, you know, 5 years later, he's back on the street, and we're in a world where things have kind of changed in a way.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I think, you know, this, the, what is it, the LCPD, you know, has become a lot more militarized with the use of drones and guardians and all of these fucking robot dogs that we keep warning people about, you know, who are just supposed to be there to, you know, deter and detain, but, you know, corruption equals power, power equals money, and, all things are not as sweet as innocent as, you know, they're led to believe.
Yeah, because, like, in the first movie, basically, also in this world, there is a drug called Psyche.
Psyche! It doesn't really exist.
But it's spinal fluid harvested from...
I'm really disappointed that they didn't just, you know, call it Spinal Tap, but I'm sure the band and everything else probably got that trademark by now.
There was some copyright issues.
Yes.
Yeah, and the whole plot of the first movie is they're going to steal, like, a big shipment of it from, like, a police evidence warehouse or, you know, during transport, and then, you know, basically resell the drugs to drug dealers. But like I said, this new world, who's, it's 5 years later, and you have Connor kind, you know, his mother has since passed, and he's
out of prison. He's not about that life.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and Connor even, or Garrett even shows up and he's like, "Hey man, I fucking owe you for what you did. So if you need anything, let me know." He's like, "Only thing I need is to never fucking see you again." And he's like, you know, he's going to try to live straight. And he's like, you know, working as a janitor at a, trying to like help rebuild a community center, and really struggling to do right in the world. And in the previous, as you said, like the law enforcement wing getting more and more, militarized, they had these robot enforcers called the Guardians, that were basically built just to fight people with powers. And they were just shooting the fuck out of anybody for anything. And, you know, and we see this kind of in the credits to this movie, kind of showing what a synopsis of kind of what happened in the last 5 years, how things have changed. And there's kind of been an outcry of like police abuse because of these robots killing people without any kind of, due process. And so now they're like, all right, we're going to walk back, not use the Guardians as much, and except extreme. And we're introducing these new friendlier robots, you know, the fucking like, so they're like robot canines. It's kind of like the next gen version of the fucking Boston Dynamic dogs. And they're like, oh, these things are for detention only. They cannot kill anyone, you know, and as long as you put your hands up and surrender, they'll stop attacking you. But we find out that's just, no, no, they're still Guardians. They just put them in a friendlier package.
I don't know. It's like a fucking robot dog scorpion.
Like, you know, fucking like tail and shit. Oh, and
I'm going to sting you.
And we, yeah, find out that Garrett in his time on the outside has basically become the local crime boss. And but he's a weird character because even though he is like a straight up crime boss, he's in his way, he's like, I'm trying to do right by the neighborhood. Like, I'm employing people that like us that have powers, you know, so, you know, they're getting money. And instead of basically people getting kidnapped and abused to make psych, like, I've created this clinic where people can come and donate, you know, the spinal fluid so we can make the drugs, and they're getting health care, they're getting paid for their donations of Spinal Tap. And he's like, you know, dude, I'm literally like trying to make the neighborhood a better place through crime.
Well, I mean, you know, in some twisted way, you know, you could kind of see that, hey, if the cops are on the take and we're no longer, you know, having to war between each other, you know, like, that's the thing. Like, you're never going to get rid of drugs, and anytime, like, law enforcement, whatever. So, I mean, you know, I can kind of see where he's going, where instead of constant shootouts with cops, you know, we're just giving the cops a cut to turn a blind eye. So,
and stay,
you know,
the fuck out of the neighborhood and stop, you know, just randomly killing powered individuals.
Like, I mean, you know, so it does a good job in that regard to be like, you know, like, can we all just not get along anyway? Like, you know.
Yeah, because now we have Sergeant Park, who's the kind of like the new golden boy in the department, who's supposedly going to, like, you know, he's like, oh, I'm, King, not Park. Park was the last one. Yeah, Sergeant King Kingston. Who's basically, you know, over this kind of area. And, you know, he's like, oh yeah, we're, you know, I'm from your neighborhood. You know, like, I'm, you know, going to make sure the the cops aren't, you know, killing people, and we've got this new dog here that can, that, you know, it's, you know, they're doing like the community outreach thing where they're like, you know,
I mean, he's got
in
a
the
good
hood cooking hot dogs and shit,
you know, PR presence.
Yeah, he's like going to be the next like whatever union rep and our reunion president. But then you find out that everything's peaceful because he's just letting it happen. He's like, you know, they're, you know, Garrett's crime syndicate, if you can even call that, are like, yeah, we're going to sell the drugs and make them humanely, and we're just going to give King a cut to let us do whatever the fuck we want. But King's a little greedy.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, in that regard, I mean, you know, like, you got one cut that goes south, you know, unfortunately due to, yeah, you know, some hardships.
You've got a young powered girl named Pavini, and her brother, who is basically a runner for Garrett's crew, and he is having to take care of his sister, and she's like pretty smart and getting good grades, and she needs more money for like a special program. So he's like, hey man, let me step up in the game. He's like, not, and his power is just like camouflage, and he's like, nah dude, you know, you're a good runner, like, keep doing what you're doing, but like, you don't want to get into any of this gangster shit. Yeah, you know he thinks he's just like, you know, I deserve more money, and he's literally trying to like watch out. He's like, nah dude, like, you don't want to come into my world, like, just do what you're doing, and you know, I'll pay you for what you're doing. So he decides to steal a shipment, which turns out to be King's payoff. So King's people track him down, and oh yeah, it turns out they're super nice robot dogs aren't so super nice, and they fucking force OD the guy to make it look like a you know, another drug overdose in the hood instead of, you know, straight up murder.
Spinal tap.
But unfortunately, his sister happens to witness this, and her power is basically she can affect technology, and like, and they call her a transducer is what they call, yes, her powers, where she can fuck with anything electronic. And so now they're trying to hunt her down because she's like a witness to this murder that can kind of blow the whole thing. And then you get kind of like caught in the middle because Garrett's squad is like, all right, we've kind of got to stop her to keep this business thing going, but we don't want to kill her like they do. We want to, you know...
Yeah, she's got a power that none of us have. Like, we want to bring her in.
Yeah, and on the other hand, they're like, you know, the cops are like, well, we've... Or not all the cops, but this corrupt unit is like, yeah, we've got to kill this little bitch. So, yeah, Garrett's kind of stuck in the middle there with, like, what do I... Yeah, I'm... I got to do the wrong thing because this is going to fuck with my business, but I want to try to do it in a right way at least. But, of course, the little girl goes to the... You know, they find her hiding out at the
community center.
Community,
right?
Center, and with an old Connor.
How janitor. Drunk were you when you watched this?
I watched this one sober. I was drunk last night when I was watching He-Man. I'm just a little hungover today, and my mouth don't work.
Well, that mouth is working, but that brain's got some fog.
There's a definite disconnect.
Something with your psych. I don't know.
Maybe somebody like drained my fucking spinal tap last night, and I'm running low on fuel. There's not enough fluid up there in the brain. I donated too much shit last night.
I mean, what you do in the privacy of your own home remains in the privacy of your own home.
Speaking of which, I made a ghetto ass old fashioned last night. I had the whiskey. I had some. Still had some bitters that I got from Calamity Labs. And then I realized I didn't have any simple syrup, and I'm like, I don't want to take the time to make simple syrup, so I literally just like put like a spoonful of sugar in it to make up for the simple syrup.
I mean, a lot, you know. I mean,
it turned out all right, but it was just like, I'm like, so as I'm like taking a spoonful of sugar in my fucking whiskey, I'm like, oh, this is dumb.
I mean, you know, when I would make them, you know, I always did the sugar cube with a couple dashes of bitters, and you know, because of the sugar cube.
Like, I think the sugar cube just, I don't know, there's something a little more sophisticated. It's kind of like doing absinthe or something. It's like, there's something cooler about using a sugar cube than just like straight up, like out of my coffee sugar bowl, like just a spoonful of sugar.
Well, it you know, you muddle it down, it dissolves down a little bit better and such, I suppose. Which are old-fashioned crunchy.
Yeah, but with like just the bitters and whiskey, I'm like, I got to take the edge off of this just a little bit. But it turned out all right. It got the job done because I made a big one in that new Cigar Nerds whiskey glass I got. And
I don't remember what we called it, but the drink that we're going to be serving at the
flesh wound?
The wedding. No. This is actually drinkable and enjoyable, but like,
we can do some Borgs. Have you seen the Borgs?
What are Borgs?
Oh, this is something new I've discovered on another podcast. They were talking about it. Apparently, that's the new thing kids do in like colleges. They call it the Borg. It stands for Blackout Rage Gallon. So they take a gallon jug and mix, basically like we used to mix Hunch Punch, but it has electrolytes and water in it so you don't get dehydrated, and then some kind of fruit juice and high grain alcohol, and they just walk around with this gallon jug sipping on it the whole day when they're partying. And they'll write, you have to name your jug too. So they all have like cool slogans and names like written on the jug. I saw one, it was a Borgen Freeman. There was the Borg identity. So yeah, Borgs are like the new hotness on like, you know, college parties and shit. Just stumbling around with a fucking gallon.
When's the last time either one of us were at a college party, Joe? Yeah.
Long time ago. It's kind of like when you used to make the, I used to call them the super sluts. When I was drinking redhead sluts, I got tired of making new ones, so I'd just make four or five at once and put them in like a really like big-ass glass. Usually by the time you finish that like fucking 32-ounce glass, you were like on the floor.
Well, speaking of on the floor, I need a lighter. Not that there's a lighter on the floor, but... Oh, Jesus.
That was louder than expected. For those of you listening at home, sorry about your ears. Here's just one of those damn Electra type of fucking Code 8s.
No, I need a torch type.
Well, they have the pyro type. Yeah, after a while, I'm like, is this just Pokemon? We got our fire types, we got our electric types.
I mean, you know, you weren't that far off on the X-Men thing.
It's like X-Men meets Training Day. It's like gritty X-Men. And that's what was kind of cool about the first one. Yeah, it was like, what if X-Men were in like a real world gritty thing where it's like, where it's not just, you know,
hey, we're out to save the day.
Yeah, big world ending issues. It's just like, how do we survive day to day? But I don't know if the budget was different for the second one than the first, but I felt like the first one, we got a lot more action sequences and use of powers than we did in this one.
Like, yeah, this was,
there was
much...
a couple like sections where we really got to see powers, but most of the time it was like fairly simple, more like running from the law type.
I think for
situation.
This one, the direction was instead of just an action film, you know, they wanted to go more toward the
crime drama,
you know, crime drama aspect of things. You know, because it definitely seemed to be a lot more story than what it was, you know, just action. And the story itself, I didn't find bad. It just
wasn't as...
It depends on where your mind frame is when you watch this. Like, if you want a crime drama, this is a great crime drama. If you're looking for superpowered beings just using their powers nonstop, this is not going to be it.
Yeah, it's like...
You know, I kind of went into it not remembering much of Code 8 from 2019, realistically. You know, so I didn't really have...
It being a little more just... I don't want to say dramatic, but a lot more action-oriented, or, you know... It felt like there was a lot more like at stake, where this one there seemed to be a lot of just slow segments where, you know, we really didn't get a whole lot of whole lot of action, and we didn't really get a whole lot of character development either in a lot of ways, where it was just kind of, especially King, who's, you know, our bad guy in this film. You find out like 3/4 of the way through that he's actually a secret powered person, and like out of nowhere, and it doesn't really affect the story at all. Like, just like, oh, you've got powers. Cool. Why are you hiding them, dude? Just so you can be a corrupt cop. Yeah. If you're going to be a corrupt cop, you should probably be, you know, using your powers for corrupt shit instead of just, you know, don't tell anybody I've got the force. It's just,
so
I gotta say,
I mean, they did have, well, I don't know. I recant that.
And the robot dogs looked fine as long as they weren't moving.
Well,
but
and
they,
I mean,
looked
that was
really CG when the sequences where they're chasing people around.
And I mean, you know, you got some of that too, especially like with the, you know, electric stuff. you know, like, oh yeah, this is some straight up video game lightning strike type stuff. But you know,
Mortal Kombat, Lord Raiden.
I don't know. See, I think you went into it with a little bit different expectation when I went into it, not really having any expectation. So that impacted, you know, your outcome of, well, I wanted more of an action series. And me, I'm like, shit, I don't remember what happened last week. So, you know, I got a crime drama. And I'm like, it wasn't terrible, you know. You know, are there rooms where they could have expanded upon things? Sure. You know, but in an hour and 45 minutes, like, it kept my attention for that time frame. I mean, shit, nowadays people don't have a time frame more than like 15 seconds. So,
well, like,
I think it all just depends on, you know, what.
Well, I think if you create a world where people having powers are like a key element, and then you barely use that to, I mean, this could have been like the story of little girl, you know, having to be protected both from criminals and corrupt cops because she's a witness to a murder. That whole story they told could have been told without
any of the powers.
Any of the powers. And
but I think
with the exception to a couple scenes, then that's pretty much what they did.
But
I don't
too,
know if that
like
fits.
If you're a person with power, knowing the militarization and everything else, you're going to do everything, I think, in your quote, power to be under that radar. You know, so I think, you know, the time frame of, oh, you got powers, you're helpful to society, versus now the narrative is, oh, you got powers, you're a threat, and
yeah, this is like the world of the Boys, but with the government not liking people with powers.
Yeah.
This is what happens in the Boys without, like, corrupt corporations to fund their PR.
Like, oh, you have powers. Now you're an elite group of operators. Like, you know, that. That's kind of the surprising part to me. It'd be like, oh, we're going to manufacture all these robots and everything else, but, you know, there's something about, hey, you know what? This dude standing beside you all of a sudden can just, you know, blast you with a volt of electricity and you would be none the wiser. Like, everybody's going to see that robot coming. They're not necessarily going to see the dude that can, you know, turn into a fucking Sparky.
Yeah, and I can't find, I think the first one had a limited theatrical release before hitting, it was released on,
because I saw a figure, something like 2.1 million, but I don't know if that's what it made or if that was the production cost.
I don't know. According to this, the box office was like 157,000, maybe? That doesn't seem right. But yeah, it had like a small theatrical release and then got bought by Netflix, where the second one was like straight to Netflix. And so maybe they shot the first one with the expectations that this was going to be a theatrical release, and they didn't have those expectations with the second one, so they didn't spend nearly as much money. Because I can't find anything about what the budget difference between the two is, but the first one, a lot more of the Guardians, and I don't know, the CGI just looked better in the original than this one. They tried to tell a simpler story, but once you already establish, like, what could be, it's kind of like taking a step back, where if this had been the first movie, and then Code 8 one was like the second, I could see that progression, but to me it just felt like they took a step back with this film. It wasn't bad, it just wasn't kind of as good as the first, to me.
So anyway, do you think instead of an hour and 45 minute runtime as a film, should they have went, you know, maybe an 8-episode series, so, you know, an hour long episode, you know, to do a deeper dive into things?
That might have been, that was kind of the other thing too, is like, yeah, like pretty much the entirety of this movie is her running from the cops and the criminals. They didn't have a lot of time to kind of develop characters and expand upon things, where sometimes that's good because it's like, oh, it's like action, you know, this is good. But when you're trying to tell, I guess, a more dramatic story,
having more time to
tell story seems, you know, like a,
you know, because
more,
like, you know, me personally, in the runtime, like, I did feel sympathy for Pav's character. The character that, you know, kicked everything off, what was his name, Robbie or Danny or something?
Yeah, whatever her brother's name was.
You know, like, you know, yeah, you're trying to do right, you know, for Pav, but at the same time, like, I don't know. Like, you know, we didn't get Tarek. Okay. I was way off.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, Robbie is like, that's, you know, one of the actors' names, but you were close.
I mean, R is almost right there next to T, right? Yeah. But you know, you didn't really get anything outside of him, outside of, you know, he's just trying to hustle to provide a better life, you know, for Pav. And I'm like, for as impactful as that was, I would like to have given more of a shit about that character, but, you know, you were only introduced to him for 6 or 7 minutes.
Yeah, it was like, and actually we got a little bit more on Pav, but yeah, like, we,
like, I honestly felt
we didn't get a whole lot of, like, King,
like, we got a lot more of Nina than what we did, you know, Tarek.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, just, it seemed like.
But then again, you know, maybe that's a way of keeping budgets low, is.
And look, the runtime was the same in each movie, if Wikipedia can be trusted. But yeah, it's like, I felt like we had like a lot more character development the first go around than we got in this second go around. Or maybe I just wasn't paying enough attention. Yeah, that too also could be the.
Now we're getting to the heart of the matter.
Yeah, I wasn't drinking when I watched this one. I mean, I was like, hey, I think Roadhouse came out. I'm going to pour me a big glass of whiskey and watch Roadhouse. Then it's like, oh, Roadhouse doesn't come out to the 23rd. Fuck. What else is on Netflix? Hey, there's this Kevin Smith He-Man series. Let me get drunk and watch this. And that's how my night went last night. Which maybe it was the whiskey, but season 2 was not as bad as season 1. I was like, that's actually pretty good. Maybe I should drink some more whiskey and go back and watch season 1.
Yeah, I've got to watch both. What are they on?
They're on Netflix.
Okay, I have that. I don't need another streaming service. Yes.
So eventually, like, you know, he's like, I don't want to deal with Garrett, but I got no other choice. Let me see if he can, you know, cash in that favor he owes me and help this girl, not realizing he's just kind of dropping her into the bad shit. Yeah, but even he's like, dude, like, hey, we got to do what we got to do. Like, I don't want this girl to be killed. The only way she not gonna get killed by these corrupt cops is if we wipe her memory. And, you know, he thinks, like, he's like, I'm just gonna take the murder. That's all we're gonna take her to this psychic type. another Pokemon, and she's just going to blank that one memory and we're good. Well, when he gets there, finds out, no, he's going to completely erase her brother from existence. And, you know, that's when he's like, this is wrong. And, you know, they're kind of holding him down while he's trying to wake her up. And then that's probably one of the cool action sequences where he, you know, one of the fire type guy, he finally like uses his hand to like set off the sprinklers and get everybody covered in water, and then does like the superhero landing and gets the fucking Raiden eyes. And they're like, oh fuck, we're all wet in a room with a fucking walking taser.
Although I do have to say though, like, there was something creepy about the psychic though. Like, just like the fucking eye movements, yeah, and everything else. I was like, you know.
Kind of reminded me, do you remember, speaking of X-Men, I think it was like the second X-Men movie where they had that dude in the wheelchair that was hooked up to the mind control stuff where he could control other mutants' mind. He was trying to get, you know, the bad military guy was using him to like force Professor X into killing all the mutants. It kind of reminded me of that guy. It was just kind of just creepy fucking looking.
But I was like, whoa, that's different. But I don't know, you know.
Like, we went from crime drama to horror movie real quick with this creepy bitch. But yeah, of course he like, you know, fucking bug zaps everybody and takes the girl. But yeah, they're all like, we're going to kill this motherfucker. And Garrett's still trying to like, don't do it, dude. And he, bing.
I could have given you a big zap, but instead I gave you a little zap.
Just gave you a little Peter tingle.
You don't have any piercings, do you?
Oh, zap somebody's fucking, taste somebody's nipple ring. It's like a fucking, what's those, the electric arcs, the Jacob's ladder, but it's like between someone's nipples. It's fucking arcing across.
Nikola Tesla, I have this.
Oh.
What a time to be alive.
Getting zapped in your other type of Jacob's ladder. Or that could be like a Viagra thing. It's like, let me jumpstart this thing.
For science?
For science. Oh. Yeah, and of course he goes back to the little old lady who runs the center and finds out she's like a bulletproof type.
No, she's just got thick skin, man.
Yeah, because eventually they get through her and she takes a couple rounds, but yeah, Kevlar's the first couple rounds, but yeah, you know, they follow her and, you know, they get caught between Garrett's men and a couple of the Guardian drones that are offline doing some gangster shit. Never seen someone snipe someone with a fucking Chris Vector. I don't think those things have the range. Those motherfuckers are like pretty far away to be sniping people with a 9mm.
Well, Joe.
Or even a .45.
That's why you're not a Guardian.
Yeah, I don't have robotic... I don't know. Robots, you could probably count, you know, calculate bullet drop and all those. So you could snipe with a... I just don't know if the terminal velocity from the distance that they were they were at. Because, yeah, you know, as soon as they figure out that Garrett's not going to kill them, and they're like, ah, well, fuck them. Let's kill them all and send in the robots.
Send in the droids. It's a good combination of Star Wars and X-Men in this series.
Fucking murder bots. It's like a...
Except their droids don't miss.
Yeah. Good things those things don't shoot like stormtroopers. I mean, pretty much kill everybody except for the guys that have, like, you know, plot armor. But we start missing a lot when we get to those guys that are, like, you know, executive producers on this and stars in the movie. But everybody else... We can hit those one shot, one kill.
I mean, I think that was probably my biggest thing with it is, you know, you got so many character introductions just for them to be cannon fodder.
Yeah, like Garrett's two, like, right-hand henchmen. Like, yeah, they just suddenly, like, just, you know, quick robot snipe and they're gone. I don't even know if we have names on those people. It's like, there's no character development there. You're strong lady, you're fire guy, and now you're both dead guys.
Who am I? I haven't unlocked my power yet.
We're smoke guy. That's our mutant power. We can create smoke.
My eyes are burning. Oh, my lungs.
Not a very effective superpower. It's just more of an annoyance. I mean, like, one guy, like, he was like chameleon powers. It was like, yeah. How would it suck to be in that world of, like, man, everybody's got these cool powers, and I can just, like, you know, talk to squirrels or some shit. Yeah, the people with, like, this lame.
Do you know how
powers.
Many squirrels there are? Okay, an army of squirrels. We will be indestructible.
Marvel does have a Squirrel Girl superhero that can control squirrels. So that is a thing. And then we had Loader, a rat catcher in Suicide Squad. So I guess you got to come up with something lamer than that. I'm like,
my power is to poop.
Oh God, that is. Did you ever watch the Boys animated series?
No, I have not seen the animated.
It's like Diablo Eek or something like that, which is a series of like this one-off stories animated in the Boys universe. And there's one about a girl who has poop powers and can bring poop to life and build little poop creatures to defend herself.
What a shitty ability.
Yes.
Like, oh, it stinks. Oh, it's in my mouth.
Kill him, Cornwallis.
I'll just name all of my
her superpower.
Hanky.
She would be the turd burglar. That would be her name.
I need this more than you.
Or the brown streak.
Shit stain.
Yeah, I don't think shit stain would do too well with the PR people.
It's fine.
I am the brown streak.
Oh. He sees red, I see brown.
So, yeah, you know, now that kind of Garrett has to be on their side, they're like, well, the only way we can kind of take this guy down is to ruin his reputation, because right now even the good cops thinks he's a good cop, so we've got to, like, blow this guy's cover.
Well, I mean, you got that one, was it a DA or something that's like, you know, oh, you guys are trying to fix a fucked up situation, and...
Yeah, he was the cop from the first movie that was kind of trying to stop them, but also help them, and now he's kind of like... They kind of allude to it that, like, his partner from the first movie tried to take this guy down, and something happened to him, but again, we don't get a lot of development, so it's just kind of alluded to, or like... Hey, I used to have a partner. Remember that guy? Y'all should ask him how it is to go up against King. So he's like...
It's okay. I can communicate with the dead.
Yeah. So, yeah, their plan is that, like, these robot dogs that he's been using to kill people have basically recordings of all the things they see. So they're like, well, we can just steal its hard drive and release that to, you know, ruin this guy's reputation. So we get the whole... them breaking into his
so,
house
so
to steal
his dog. So we come back
to
our roots. We're now back to a heist film.
Yeah, and turns out Garrett's like actually still kind of gangster guy. So he's like, no, what? He's like, yeah, we can, because she's like, I can pull the data from the dog, but I need somewhere to put it. So he's like, oh yeah, we got computers back at the base. Like, we'll go steal this dog and y'all can do that and then we can broadcast it. Well, once they get back to the base, he's like,
well,
no,
even before that,
actually, I'm just going to use this as leverage.
Like, I thought it was cool, like, them posing as the union reps and actually going to, you know, the house where the dog is housed and everything. Like, you know, like, oh, now we're doing some real gangster shit.
Yeah, and of course you see this guy's, like, house is, like, his wife is, like, doesn't appear to be in on the whole deal, but yeah, cops don't have houses like that unless you are fucking corrupt as shit Or if you're like the chief or something, you know, like some road sergeant's not going to have like a multi-million dollar house like that.
Why not? Because maybe he inherited it. All right. Why is it? Why is it always going to be corruption?
We've got the Mike Lowry exception of a rich guy that became a cop first. But for the most part, we ain't got a whole lot of money.
Are you the cops now?
I used to be, and I had no money. I was not corrupt enough to have money.
Are you the police?
You see this beard? Not anymore.
I don't know, dude. I've seen some pretty impressive cop beards these days.
Yeah, like, no, I got out too soon. Like, now I was like, I don't want to go back because I don't want to shave my beard. Now, like, they all got beards and shit. And then I'm like, no, I don't want to go back just because, like,
you're going to be broke.
Government sucks. There's too much bull. They defunded everybody. We're going to be broke again. I don't want to go back. But if we get robot dogs, then maybe, because that was kind of cool. I want a robot dog.
I mean, dude, we can go to the flea market right now and get you one of those little yappy Japanese dogs. I think now even they backflip.
I just want one of those, like, fucking Boston Dynamics spot dogs and rig them up with, like, a lighter and a cutter so he can, like, light my cigars and shit for me. Spot, go get me a stogie. And he comes back. Here you go. Put a little fucking ashtray on his back.
It's like, that's not a stogie. That's just a stick.
Damn it, boy. When I said bring me a stick, I meant something else. Somebody's got to reprogram your ass.
We would never get anything accomplished. It's kind of hard for us to get anything accomplished as it is. If we had a robot dog, like...
I don't know, maybe we'd get more accomplished, because then we'd have the dog to help us do things. We could be like Scooby-Doo.
The dog
could solve crimes with a robot dog.
And on today's short, we're exploring blah, blah, blah. Oh, God!
You know how much YouTube content I could make if I had a robot dog?
All right. So that's settled.
It's a business expense. I got to start making money before I can actually have business expenses.
But do you?
No.
you just got to get your hand on some startup cash.
Need angel investors. That's the thing, right? I've heard that term on Shark Tank. I can use big words and look like I know about business. Get me a tie. Business! Like the fucking business cats. I fell down a YouTube rabbit hole. There's a guy who has cats. Some comedian who started a channel during the lockdown where basically he just voiceovers his cats. And they're funny as shit, but he made little ties for all the cats.
See, you never struck me as much of a cat person, and you've totally became a cat person.
That's because I got stuck with them. I didn't have a choice. It's Stockholm syndrome at this point. They wouldn't go away, and now I'm just like, all right, you live here now.
You live with me now. I'll take care of you.
I tell them all the time, I'm like, I don't like cats. Nope, I don't like you at all. But you're curled up on my shoulder purring now because, like, you're a fuzzy fucking parrot. And that's, you just have to ride on my shoulder through the house. Yeah. Cats are assholes. Oh. But yeah. Yeah. Garrett thinks he can control the situation because, like, this is my town. I'm just going to use this severed robot head as leverage to say, hey, I'm going to fucking rat you out if you don't, you know, get the fuck out of my hood. And he's like, motherfucker, we the police, and just stabs his ass. It's like, now we're going to tear your building apart and get our shit back.
But are they? I mean, they did do some damage to, like, two rooms. It's like, we can't afford the whole building. Like, just give us, like, a suite.
Yeah. So, new plan is, since, word got out that there was some police activity going down at the projects, you know, all the news agencies showed up, and she's like, well, if we can get to that van, I can just broadcast the shit. Like, so we can still do what we had planned to do. We just have to adjust the plan a little bit. You know, and the cops bust in and like get in a fight with all the X-Men people. You know, one of them ends up getting capped and he's, I'm going to kill every one of you motherfuckers. Yeah, you know, and he just starts going full Denzel in Training Day. He's kind of like, yeah, I'm giving up on the whole like trying to pretend to be a good cop thing. I'm just going to go full gangsta.
Yeah, like that was kind of the interesting story to be like, all right, we got to keep this low key. Everybody used non-lethal, and of course, when it came to his ass on the line, he's like, fuck this, lethal.
Yeah. Oh. And then you get, you know, Connor getting trapped by the drug dog again, and you think he's going to get OD'd, but, you know, homegirl comes and uses her robot Jedi mind trick to just get him high instead of kill him. He got a little bit of a dose, but not a lethal dose. And then, you know, she takes control of robot dog and uses it to fuck up the other robot dog. And fuck up the handler, too.
Yeah, her ability was pretty cool. Like, just, you know. Like, sit, boy. Seek. Sick him. Got him.
Bite his nuts off. And then, you know. That was a cool effect when, you know, he makes it outside with the girl who got shot in the exchange and trying to, you know, he's still kind of high as fuck, but, you know, King makes it out with some more and tries to sick robot dog on him in front of everybody, but even though Garrett is stabbed and handcuffed, he's still got enough wits about him to, like, fucking full-on Magneto that damn thing and like psychic crush the fucking robot dog and turn it into a fucking paperweight. I'm like, all right, that looked pretty cool. Like, most of your CGI budget went on, you know, these couple scenes. That's why everything was done sparingly. Cause I liked the fucking Guardian boss in the first one. They definitely got used a lot more in the first film than they
certainly
they did in this one.
But I mean, you know, then again, too, you got to think like you know. Everybody's trying to stay off the radar, you know? Like, I got 7 cops on the take here with me that know what's really happening, and, you know, I can't have the entire department, you know?
Yeah, it's like, just bring the people that we trust. No one who's not on the payroll is going on this raid. But then, you know, all the other cops end up showing up. And, you know, he even, you know, uses his force powers on makes... I thought he was going to have King, like, you know, shoot himself, but he basically, like, you know, made him put his gun to his own head. Or that's one thing I didn't understand at that point. Was he trying to kill Kane or Kane King? Or did at that point King realize he was fucked and was going to take himself out and he was trying to stop him from pulling the trigger so he would have to go to jail?
See, I don't know. Like, you know, because we saw some of that competition back when they were at the house with the fucking knife, you know, where, you know, he reveals, oh, I got power. Like, motherfucker, don't go for that knife. It's going to end badly for you.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, because I was like, that's one thing I was like, watching it, I'm like, I can't tell if he's either trying to kill him and King's resisting, or King's trying to kill himself because he knows he's fucked and doesn't want to go to jail, and he's trying to keep him from pulling that trigger. So I'm like, I couldn't figure out which one was which, whether it was like, you know, Garrett trying to save him or Garrett trying to kill him. Well, the thing is, it didn't explain that enough. He could have been like, no, dude, you're not taking the easy way out. And like, all right, cool. Yeah, put that line in. And I understand what's going on. But when it's just two guys using fucking psychic powers on each other, it's like, I don't know which one's doing what. Like, change your psychic power to like a different color so I can tell who's... Who's doing what in this scene?
Which outcome would you prefer? He get the easy road and he's just gone? You know, because at this point, like, you know, the towers are compromised.
I think he has to survive, because if he doesn't, the reveal of the corruption doesn't exonerate the, you know, the kids, you know, if the guy that they're trying to take down ends up getting killed and then there's like no, it, you know, that's going to be in the news for a day, but a trial is going to be in the news for like months, if not years.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, it's bigger than just, you know, him. Yeah. He might've been the leader of the, but how deep does the corruption go at that point?
Yeah. With him, like, off on himself, then you lose all that kind of information. Cause,
but do you? Cause you know, you got a little girl that's got psychic abilities that's seen a lot of shit that,
but she's only like technical psychic, so she's like, if a robot didn't record that shit, she's not going to be able to pull
but
that.
But every guardian
evidence.
Every dog has,
yeah, they start scanning the memories on all the dogs, not just his personal dog. They may find more incidences of bad shit. But yeah, I think with him being alive and them having to prosecute him, there's going to be more effort and time put into uncovering the conspiracy, where if he,
or maybe
him,
that's the ploy,
him
maybe
and
that's
his lieutenants all die, then it's just like, all right, we can sweep this under the rug and go back to business as usual. And
I don't know, if we did get a part three, maybe that was the take. Oh, he was trying to kill himself to take the easy way out. I prevented that so that he could, you know, that was my good deed. Yeah, I, you know, fucking run drugs, blah, blah, blah. But,
and at the end, you see him, he actually did go to jail, and but you see him kind of in the jail watching homeboy go down on the news, and he's kind of like smiling, like, all right, yeah, I'm, this ultimately helped my people, which is what I was always trying to do with my criminal activity. So even though I ended up in here, I, you know, succeeded in my plan of doing something good for the community, and it seems like the community is doing better. And you see Connor, like, you know, kind of fully exonerated for his part, and he's actually got the center open, and all these kids from the hood now have a place to go and not just become drug dealers themselves or drug addicts. And so he's like, all right, yeah, maybe there is a different way to help the community. There's his way and my way, and, you know, it looks like at this point anyway, his way is the better way than what I've been doing these last 5 years.
The easy way for the quick cash was his, the hard way and non-theatric way is to, hey, I've opened a shelter, a community center, and this,
yeah,
is,
and Garrett kind of needs Connor around because Connor's more of his conscience, where he's like, yeah, I'm doing good for the community, but yeah, you're doing it to also enrich yourself. Where he's like, dude, you're a fucking hypocrite. Yeah, you think you're doing all this to help the community, but you're really just doing it to make yourself fucking rich. You know, the helping the community is just a coincidence. You know, and he eventually kind of came to that way of seeing things, I guess. So yeah, he's definitely needs him there as his kind of conscious through left to his own devices. He just becomes a bigger and bigger piece of shit. So as we kind of wrap this up, what's your final thoughts? Or what's your final thoughts on that hair, Anejo?
Dude, I love the Anejo. Like that's just all there is to it. You know, I'm gonna smoke this bitch down till it starts singeing my knuckle hairs. Yes. You know, definitely one of my favorites of the full flavor. You know, Fuente offerings, sweet, spicy. You know, woody, I don't know, fucking staple of a cigar, and that's why they're just, you know, so coveted.
Yeah, I just wish that was a full-time production. it's like, oh, Christmas is coming, got to get my, you know, two or three Anejos in for the year.
But I kind of feel like if it was a full-time thing,
yeah, it wouldn't be nearly as, especially for the price point. It's definitely not an everyday stick for the price point. That, you know, but when it only comes out once a year, I don't mind buying
not in
two
our,
or three.
Our limited baller.
Yeah,
budgets.
We're not corrupt cops, so we can't afford it. We got to start selling psych, so we can afford our cigar habit. But yeah, even if it was available all the time, yeah, I probably wouldn't smoke that many of them. But them coming out once a year, I'm like, yeah, I can justify, you know, living like a baller for a month and smoking three or four of these every year. This Room 101 is a good one. You know, definitely check that one out. It's got some good strength. It's still kicking in there. So yeah, I do like a strong cigar, but you know, it's kind of got that leathery, like, you know, earthy earthy tones to it. I think this would be a good whiskey cigar. It's definitely strong enough to cut through the whiskey taste. So this one I would definitely recommend.
I mean, there hasn't been too many Room 101 cigars that I haven't liked.
No, they haven't really made it into kind of the everyday rotation. But yeah, I've not been disappointed with any of the Room 101 cigars I've tried through the years.
I remember back in the day we used to always confuse them and Aging Room together.
Yeah. Usually they're like kind of in the same area of the. Is this an aging room or room? Which room is this? Is this room 101 or aging room? Too many rooms.
Well, it's my birthday. I've already aged. I can now join the aged room.
Yep. Happy 50th.
My hairline says I'm like 70.
Yeah, fuck. I'm turning 45 in a couple weeks, so it's like, gotta start carrying that 1911. Yeah. Back-to-back world champs. Oh, but that's all we got for you. Check out, check out both Code 8s. See if you agree with us. See if we're assholes that don't know what we're talking about. You know, whatever. Talk shit in the comment section. That helps the algorithm. Check us out on YouTube. Definitely like, comment, and subscribe. And we'll be right back with some science.
As the temperatures get cooler, let's think back to a time where monsters fascinated our young minds, where haunted houses and flying saucers were the stuff of fantastical dreams. Come relive those wonderful times with us every Monday at 5 p.m. It's Monster Attack on the ESO Network.
Welcome back. It's time for some science.
It's always my favorite part of the episode because I get to learn what kind of shit's out there that's going to inevitably destroy me.
Well, let's see. Well, first off, we have apparently interstellar alien tech was actually just vibrations from a local truck.
So it's not aliens.
Nope.
That sounds like it's probably definitely aliens, then.
Yeah, that sounds like a cover story for...
like, we weren't supposed to release that. Never mind. Our instruments are just extremely sensitive, and a big truck drove by, created some vibration.
So, a interstellar meteor, possibly containing alien technology, hit Earth a decade ago, is now on shaky ground. Pieces of the meteor were collected from the ocean off of Papua New Guinea, and through later analysis, brought into question the alien tech claim. Originally, people at the observatory said they received basically some kind of signals from the meteor as it was coming in. It landed back on January 8th, 2014. And using like recording from a seismometer at Manus Island in Papua New Guinea, they linked the meteor to a signal, according to Professor A.V. Loeb. Well, since then, now that they've gotten pieces of the meteor from the ocean, they're like, well, this may not actually be interstellar. This may be a meteor from within our own galaxy. And also, now that we've kind of reviewed the sensor data, apparently this observatory is right off the, a highway, or like at least a road, and they were able to kind of determine that there was a big truck coming through the area at the exact same time that they were monitoring this meteor incoming, and realized the signal that they thought was coming from the meteor was actually just the rumble of a truck going by the observatory, setting off their sensors.
Oops.
Or that's the cover story, because the government was like, hey, that shit was definitely aliens. Don't tell nobody. Fuck, we already told people. Well, y'all better come up with an excuse.
You mean to tell me there's a truck driving around in the middle of the ocean?
Yeah, and they posted a map on their site, like, yeah, here's the truck road. Here's where the seismometer was. It's like, yeah, it's like just right off the road. You would think y'all would, like, maybe want to put your seismic equipment somewhere a little bit farther away.
That's
from
it. Ban big trucks. Ban big trucks. That way we don't have, you know.
That way we know for sure when the aliens arrive. Well,
they're already among us.
No, that was the fungus.
Oh, okay. Incubus?
Decent band.
I just said that because I had the Fungus Among Us album.
Was it a tie-in to The Last of Us?
Yes.
Oh, well, I'll be damned. I was just being a smartass. So, new thermal scope lets snipers remain invisible while shooting. Dun, dun, dun.
That sounds like another expensive toy that I'm going to want.
Yeah. So, basically, defense contractor Teledyne FLIR, which stands for, I think it's Ford Light Infrared Radar, maybe. Basically, at SHOT Show, which apparently SHOT Show stands for Shooting, Hunting, and Outdoor Trade. I've never actually heard that SHOT Show is an acronym. That's kind of cool. So, shooting long distances, kind of only one of the ways to track where your rounds are going is the use of tracer rounds, which are rounds with a little bit of, they basically kind of like a road flare. So they kind of glow as they fire, but, the little pyrotechnic charge burns brightly. But a problem, if you're a sniper a mile away, you know, the people can see the incoming fire and track it back to your location, which is not good if you're trying to be sneaky. So, this new, what they're calling cooled thermal sight, is a specialized camera that follows the fired round and traces it using its thermal signal. So it's basically a tracer that only the shooter can see. So the sight itself is lowered to like cryogenic temperatures. So it, for some reason, it's able to kind of detect thermal images at a much higher resolution than current thermal imaging cameras can. So it can see something as small as a bullet traveling and see its heat signature in detail, you know, better than the like surrounding environment. So like most thermal cameras we got now aren't that like high resolution, where this one can see, basically see weapons in hands, see minor movements at, you know, miles away from the shooter. So it's not only it's going to be a much higher definition scope, but that combined with thermal technology is going to make people be able to see a whole lot better than they can, and making snipers more deadly and more sneaky.
I just wish there was a view, like, looking through the scope or something.
Yeah, unfortunately, in this article, they don't have, it may be in this attached video.
But, I mean, this isn't the first time that, you know, I think it's, what, the HISS technology has been used, but, you know.
But yeah, basically it's also, it's waterproof, lightweight, and auto-focusing. So it's like the operator doesn't have to do a whole lot with it. It kind of, but they're saying it's also has uses outside of, you know, just shooting people. It can be used detached from a weapon for surveillance of objects and even export video to kind of the higher ups for evaluation. So, you know, you can, the basically like the commanders can monitor what, you know, the sniper is seeing through his scope, you know, via, you know, whatever signal they're using to pipe out that, that video. And, in other high tech shit, we've had the world's first jet suit race in Dubai, because people in Dubai have money. You know, because anytime new technology is invented, it's like, you know, all right, cool. How do we race this? How do we use this to gamble or something?
Now I want to go fast.
So, yes, recently in the world's first jet suit race was conducted at the Dubai Marina, with racers donning Iron Man-like flight suits and darting around floating buoys, hoping to cross the finish line before their competitors, if you didn't know how races work. But yeah, that's... The race was organized by Gravity Industries, a UK-based aeronautical tech company that specialized in high-powered jet suits.
So I wonder how long before do we have, like, dude, the drone racing? That the shit's fucking...
Peoples.
Yeah.
That's basically... I mean, these things have, like... little kind of handheld jet thrusters that they use to fly and maneuver, kind of like, you know, original old Iron Man. And the winner of the race, Isa Kaflon, was crowned the winner, earning himself a gold jet turbine. That was the trophy.
You've
for
unlocked
this one.
An award.
Yeah, the suits feature 5 gas turbine propulsion assemblies fitted on the arms and back, capable of generating over 1,000 horsepower. This allows the racer to peak up speeds up to 80 miles per hour. But unfortunately, the suits can only typically stay airborne for about 3 minutes. Although it's possible to fly at over 7 minutes if conditions are optimal. So yeah, going to be we're not going to see a NASCAR 1,000 mile race in these things, but it's more like drag racing at this point, I would say.
But dude, like, you wipe out. Like, it's all bad. Like,
yeah, 80 miles an hour. Yeah, it's like, you know, wrecking a fucking motorcycle without having the motorcycle. That's probably why this race was held over water. Like,
but
if you
still,
crash,
dude,
you're at least going to hit water. But hitting water at 80 miles per hour is going to suck pretty bad as well.
Like, I've hit water at, you know, 60 or so, and it's like hitting a fucking brick, like,
yeah,
you know, like, you know, because, you know, in a crash scenario, or, you know, it's not like, oh, let me go in, you know, at an angle, or, like, you don't get any control over, you know, how you're hitting the water.
And Gravity Industry says, you know, even though these things are cool for racing, they're actually going to be intended to use by paramedics to reach treacherous mountain areas. They've also just suggested it could be used by police forces to hunt down criminals on the run. So we're going to get, like, full-on Iron Man suit cops chasing people. As long as they don't run, you just got to run for 3 minutes. If you make it 4 minutes, you can get away. But if they can get your ass in 3 minutes, you're fucked.
No, you got to be going 80 for 3 minutes.
But then again, Dubai has a lot of giant-ass buildings. So if you got to, like, respond to something on the 70th floor, I mean, you're... I guess your response time is going to be a little bit better if you can just, like, you know, launch yourself up to the top of the high rise instead of having to climb a lot of steps or even an elevator.
Well, I mean, you know, even to get a ladder truck or something in position, you know, all that setup takes time. Like, so you could just be like, yeah, you know, could be great, you know, scenario for first responders in that situation. Like, you know, just.
Yeah, because that's one of the kind of the problems, like hell, we saw that on 9/11 was like, you know, how do you fight fires 100 stories up? It's so, yeah, if you can get people on scene a lot quicker or access areas that normally couldn't access, it's definitely going to be a help for first responders. Well, we talked it about previously that the Elon Musk Neuralink has now started human trials. Well, the FDA just released a report that inspectors at their California animal research facility found numerous problems with record keeping and quality controls related to their animal experiments. So, could be some concerns for people who's volunteering for these human trials.
Or, you know what? Musk has got a lot of money. Let's, like, how many things on Neuralink does, you know, the oversight, you know, have?
Yeah.
Like,
they said some of the issues they encountered were instruments used in experiments that had no record of having been calibrated. The lab was also accused of not properly documenting its quality control procedures. These kind of issues are particularly important as the startup is dealing with live animals for their experiments. But they also said they also inspected, they have another facility in Texas and didn't find any problems in Texas. So if you're getting your brain implant, you may want to get it from Texas and not California.
So don't go to the dispensary and then go to work.
Yeah. But that's all I got for you this week. We'll be right back with some nerd news.
And now it's time for all things nerdy in nerd news.
And welcome to nerd news.
Yeah, news.
All right. We got a lot of trailers for you this go round. Some probably better than others, but, you know, we've been following all the Fallout series and everything else for that trailer. And, well, we now have what's going to be the end of the world. It's not quite what it should be. So this new trailer, we got a look at the story and some insight on the characters. And it, appearance-wise, absolutely looks like it was taken from the video game. So, you know, 200 years after the apocalypse, the Denizens of luxury Fallout shelters are forced to return to the aerated hellscape their ancestors left behind. And, yeah, all kinds of creatures, outlaw factions.
Yeah, fucking whatever gunslinger dude with no face looks pretty badass.
Ghoul. Yeah, cool. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I don't even, like I said, I'm behind on my gaming, so I never played the Fallout series, but yeah, the trailer for the show looks badass. I may have to start playing the game now just based on how badass the show looks.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know. I thought that they did a great job on, you know, the landscapes. As far as everything here, I mean, you know, some of it looks B-movie cheesy. Some of it looks, you know, fucking stellar studio quality. I mean, that's very much what you get with the Fallout series is just all kinds of randomness.
This is a Prime series, isn't it?
That is correct.
Yeah, so Prime does some good, they put some money into them, some things. So yeah, a lot of the Prime originals have been pretty badass. So I'm expecting good things.
You know, I've heard good things about, you know, Westworld, and that's where Jonathan Nolan, Lisa Joy, and you know, we'll feature into this, so I think it'll carry over pretty well, and we don't have to wait forever. Fallout will arrive on Prime Video April 12th.
Well, we know what we'll be talking about sometime late April.
Yeah.
Whenever.
Well, but, you know, if
Prime's
never
a week-to-week thing, so it'll probably be May before they finally finish it up, so yeah.
If you've never played...
This summer we'll probably be talking about
Fallout, that. You know, check Steam, check, you know, Green Man Gaming. A lot of times you'll find those games, you know, for dirt cheap, and you know, like Fallout 4, dude, the mod community, like, it is so endless. Like it's crazy to think, you know, like, fuck, I've got games that are 20 years old, but you know, due to the mods and everything else, they look just as good. And you know, it's like, oh, well, this used to be a bug, and this modder has now, you know, found all of these workaround and fixes. So, you know, your gameplay mileage goes a lot farther.
Nice.
A lot of family films this go around. Maybe not so much Fallout, but, You know, there's a new trailer, The Wild Robot from DreamWorks Animation. Just a cool, you know, kind of art style. I don't know. I kind of get, you know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, like with all these animals following the robot around and stuff like that. I'm assuming that
he's a Disney princess.
You know, Roz is a shipwrecked robot and on an uninhabited island and has to learn to adapt to the harsh surroundings, gradually building relationships with animals on the island to become the adaptive parent of an orphaned gosling. The film's story, you know, is the discovery of self, a, you know, thrilling examination of the bridge between technology and nature and moving exploration of what it means to be alive and connected to all living things. I don't know. I mean, we got Pedro Pascal, Catherine O'Hara, you know.
You got a movie? We got a Pedro.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we called it, you know. We said that Pedro was going to start turning up in a lot more things, so.
Yeah, that dude's in, like, every fucking... I mean, he's in the new Gladiator movie. Like I said, dude is in everything.
Yep. Mark Hamill, you know, will be a voice actor in the series, so. You know, a lot of big names. I mean, you know. And, you know, this is directed by Chris Sanders, who did How to Train Your Dragon, Lilo and Stitch. Like, we know how successful those were.
Yeah.
So, September 20th, 2024 is when The Wild Robot will debut in theaters. Speaking of another video game movie, you turned me on to the Borderlands trailer. Huge, huge fan of the Borderlands series. 3, not as good as 2. I think most would agree just because, you know, we had a new writing team and a lot of the humor and everything went out the window in guise of political correctness and inclusivity and all the things that... I kind of feel like, you know, the Borderlands franchise.
Yeah, and this trailer
typically would toss out the window.
Trailer for the movie. This looks like the crazy shoot 'em up action you're expecting from a Borderlands. I mean, it kind of gives me a little Guardian of the Galaxy vibe too, with the bright colors and the music. But you got a huge cast: Jamie Lee Curtis, Kate Blanchett, Kevin Hart, Adriana Greenblatt, who played young Ahsoka in the Ahsoka series. She's playing Tiny Tina and just looks as unhinged and explosive as she does in the video game. And of course, Jack Black is Claptrap, which looks funny as shit. I mean, fucking trailer. He's like getting like shot all to hell and then he's like pooping out the bullets that hit him. It's fucking weird.
Oh, when was the release date on that?
August 9th. So,
so
later
we
this
got
year.
A little bit of wait. Dadgummit. I'm ready. Super stoked for that one.
Right around Dragon Con time, we'll see how many fucking Borderlands cosplayers we get this year.
We're gonna keep it going with some gaming news, but this time instead of trailers, we're gonna talk about a new Star Wars tabletop game from the studio of Fantasy Flight Games. This will be Star Wars Unlimited: Spark of the Rebellion. And this will be more of a card game.
Yeah, because I've played... I mean, we got big into the X-Wing there for a while, and this kind of got out of it as we didn't have time to play as much anymore. And I haven't played the other, like, tabletop miniatures game that they got, but I've heard that's pretty cool, like Star Force Unleashed or Star Wars Unleashed or whatever that... The models look cool as shit, but I've not had the time or the money to get into it.
Well,
but it looks
cool.
I
think this one, you know, will be easier to get into budget wise, maybe. I mean,
Star Wars Magic the Gathering, pretty much.
Kinda. So it's described as a fast paced, easy to learn, you know, trading card game. Players face off in exciting head to head battles full of Star Wars characters, and the two player starter for the game's first set, Spark of the Rebellion, players will find two fully built, ready to play decks.
I like that when they do that, when you get, when So the core system is enough to play the game. You don't have to like have everything. You can start playing from day one with just the basic set.
So, you know, you'll be able to shield your allies as Luke Skywalker or go on the offensive as Vader. Some of the other characters include Yoda, Boba Fett, Princess Leia, Obi-Wan, and others.
When that Mandalorian expansion comes. Yeah,
absolutely.
Go build me a Mando deck.
So players will build a 50-card deck with one leader card, like Luke, Vader, or one of the base cards, like, you know, Command Center or Administrator's Tower. The objective of the game is to gather resource cards, gain experience cards, and draw attack cards to deplete the number value of your opponent's base card. Meanwhile, tokens are used to upgrade the values of your cards. In this first set in a new trilogy of card games, the first game features characters from beginning of the Galactic Civil War with characters and locations from the original trilogy, Rogue One, Star Wars
the
Story,
classic Star Wars.
Star Wars Rebels, and more. The next two parts of the game are Shadows of the Galaxy and Twilight of the Republic, and they'll release sometime later in 2024. So I guess right now it's available for pre-order and will drop. Actually, it just came out Friday, so it was available March 8th and retails for $34.99. I guess there's already booster display sets and stuff like that that go for like $120.
Shit.
So, you know.
I'm going to have to pick up a basic set and, hell, film a game demo or something and, like, you know, play around of it.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, that's the thing is, you know, a lot of these...
looking for new content on the YouTubes.
You know, games require so much setup and everything. So the fact that, hey, here's a thing, may not have all the bells and whistles, but it's ready to go for two people right out of the box versus...
Yeah, that's one of the downsides of the X-Wing game is, like, we would spend a fucking hour trying to, like, design our army for the session, and then, like, the game itself didn't last nearly as long as the freaking setup did, but, yeah, with the card game.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, with all of these type of games, you know, the kind of the possibilities and everything else are just going to be endless, and I'm curious to see how much of a money and time sink this is going to become.
I've already... got too many hobbies.
Well, I mean, maybe this isn't enough for a full hobby, but maybe, you know, maybe it'll go quick enough that it could be a cool pastime.
Yeah,
you know,
the older I get, the simpler the games need to be.
Well, it's like
I don't want an
I've
hour.
I bought some really cool
time.
Games, and I'm like, okay, it's going to take me 6 months to figure out the mechanics, and it's going to require at least 3 hours of setup time.
Yeah. At least with a lot of things, there's YouTube tutorials where you're like, all right, how do we set this up? Let me watch this video real quick so we don't spend all night trying to figure out how to play this damn game.
Well, we're going back to Netflix and some Korean horror. We had a trailer for the series Parasite the Grey, which is based on a popular manga series.
Speaking of, you see McDonald's like manga shit they got now?
Uh-uh.
There's like, they have like a fucking manga themed meal that, you know, apparently I guess there's a show with it, like their version is like WickDonald's. So now they've released the WickDonald's meal with like a special dipping sauce for your nuggets.
It's like interesting.
Yeah. And apparently you can get like downloadable manga with your, with the meals.
Well, my Korean is absolutely atrocious, so I'm not going to try to pronounce names here, but this...
I can count Korean. That's about all the Korean I know.
So the same director that was behind the Train to Busan and Hellbound is who's bringing this series to us. And I guess the original manga was Parasite, the Maximum, which, you know, launched back in 1989. The story is set in Korea and will feature a lot of new characters within a brand new story. And the story, when the unidentified parasites violently take over human host and gain power, humanity must rise to combat the growing threat. Looks like we're going to get some updated takes on the monsters. And then, you know, the effects for these look fucking awesome.
Yeah, Korea's made some good horror lately. Like, I mean, there's been some good Korean series coming. We helped fucking Squid Games, and they're doing some good shit over there.
So, no release date yet for the trailer, but, you know, definitely one that will keep folks, you know, just for the effects and everything else, just look freaking awesome. And then, you know, we talked a lot about family-friendly films, so here's another one, the Garfield movie.
Doing another one of those.
Yep, and this will be starring Chris Pratt and Samuel L. Jackson.
That's not so, a name you usually hear in family-friendly.
Exactly. So, you know, Sony released...
Where's my lasagna, motherfucker?
I don't think you're going to get the motherfucker in this, but, you know... The trailer definitely looks amusing. You know, Mark Dindal, The Emperor's New Groove, and Chicken Little is our director. Garfield gets involved in a high-stakes heist. The voice cast and crews includes Chris Pratt as Garfield, Samuel L. Jackson as Father Vic, Nicholas Hoyt, Hannah Waddingham, Brett Goldstein, Bowen Yang, Ving Rhames. So, you know, if you love, I guess, in this, Garfield will go on an unexpected reunion with his long lost father, Scruffy Street Cat Vic. Garfield and his canine friend Odie are forced, from their perfectly pampered life and joining Vic in a hilarious high stakes heist. May 24th, 2024 will be the release date. And yes, I will fucking go and see this in theaters.
You're going to have lasagna in the theater.
Well, I saw for the Ghostbusters that most theaters are going to have fucking proton pack boxes for the popcorn and shit.
Yeah, that's been the kind of the new thing is like the fancy custom boxes for like opening weekend. Because like everyone was talking about the Dune popcorn bucket that looked like a fleshlight.
So, I mean, you know, not that a movie theater is known for their lasagna, but those motherfuckers got microwaves, okay? Like,
yeah, we can get some microwave lasagna in the new themed...
It's like, I missed the movie because I was pooping.
Oh.
Wait, is theater lasagna the equivalent of gas station sushi?
It may be just as risky. We will see. But that's all we got for you this week. Check us out on CigarNerdPodcast.com. We're on the ESO Network at ESOnetwork.com. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, X, whatever the fuck you call it, at CigarNerdPod. We're on the YouTube. That's starting to gain a little some subscribers, so go check that out if you haven't already, at CigarNerdPodcast over there. Get your energy drinks at StrikeForceEnergy.com. Get your shirts at RealMenSmokeCigars.com. And with that, Code Brown. And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast. We're your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.